الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا مباركا يليق بجلال قدره وعظيم سلطانه واشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله ادى الامانه ونصح الامه وكشف الغمه وتركها على المحجه البيضاء لا يزيغ عنها الا هالك. يقول الله سبحانه وتعالى: يا ايها الذين امنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون. ويقول كذلك: وتعاونوا على البر والتقوى ولا تعاونوا على الإثم والعدوان واتقوا الله إن الله شديد العقاب. ويقول الله سبحانه وتعالى: يا أيها الناس اعبدوا ربكم الذي خلقكم والذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. I bear witness there's no deity worthy of worship but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator, the sustainer, the provider and the lawmaker. And that indeed he has revealed the truth, the Qur'an, the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he is his last messenger and prophet. May Allah blessings, peace and blessings be upon Sayyidina Muhammad and all of those who follow him until the day of judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Qur'an, commands us in Surah Al-Hashr, O you who believe, ittaqullah, fear Allah, create a barrier between you and the hellfire, the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Have taqwa in your hearts towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Have piety towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدٍ. And shall a soul see what it has prepared for its tomorrow. For the day that we're under this earth, 6 feet down under the earth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding us. Shall a soul see what it has prepared for that day. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. And fear Allah. Remember Allah. Indeed Allah is all-knowing with what you do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also commands us, saying, cooperate on righteousness and piety, and do not cooperate on transgression and evil. Indeed, Allah is severe in His punishment. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands all of mankind, saying, Ya ayyuhan nas, O you mankind, worship your Lord, the one who has created you and the nations before you, so that you may achieve taqwa. So that you may achieve the taqwa that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to do or to have in the first ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most merciful, the most gracious, the most kind, tells us in the Qur'an that He has given us too many and so many countless infinite bounties. And He tells us, if that we try to count them, we can never account for these bounties. وَإِن تُعُدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you attempt to find out how many these are, you can never complete that counting. And He gives us many ayat, many parables throughout the Qur'an of His existence, of His powers, of His attributes. Inshallah, today we want to reflect on one of these. Because this parable that He has given us, or this bounty, has been neglected in the society that we live in. And even among ourselves as believers, many of us take it for granted. Many of us take it, we got too used to it. And it has become so neglected in this society and sometimes even demeaned and considered to be something of an old fashion or from the old days. So let's reflect on this wonderful ayah, this wonderful bounty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with, the bounty or the blessing of marriage. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Ar-Rum, the chapter of the Romans. ومن آياته, and from among his signs. ومن آياته أن خلق لكم من أنفسكم أزواجا. From among his signs is that he has created from among yourselves, for you, spouses. لتسكنوا إليها, so that you may have tranquility and peace towards each other. وجعل بينكم مودة ورحمة. إن في ذلك لآيات لقوم يتفكرون. Indeed, and he has put between you mawadda and rahma, mercy or love and compassion. إن في ذلك, indeed, in these are ayat, are signs for those who reflect and ponder and comprehend. يتفكرون. But many of us, whether we're married or not, we got, you know, we just don't pay too much attention to this ayah, to this parable. Those of us who are married, including myself, we get up every day, we go on with our businesses, our lives, our families, you know, our daily affairs. We set the breakfast, we get the kids to school, we go on to our work, we come back, and it's life as normal, and we never reflect on the details of this ayah. And there's a lot of details and a lot of depth and meaning in it. So let's start again from the beginning. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ, and from among His many, many signs, is just this one sign, is that He has created for you from among yourselves. He has created for the man, for the male, a female. خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ. He has created for you from among yourselves. And this in itself is an ayah, is a parable that deserves one to sit back and reflect at it and look at it. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created Adam from nothing, as we all know. And then from Adam alayhi salam, as this ayah tells us, He has created Hawa. He has created this female to help Adam in his mission on life. As we know, our mission on life is to uphold Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the angels, إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. I'm putting on earth a representative. So they ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءِ. You're putting on it a creature that's going to cause bloodshed and mischief. And He tells them, I know what you know not. So our mission, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put us on earth to be the khalifa, to be the representative, to uphold the goodness, to uphold the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to call for the truth, to help the orphans, to help the needy, to be good to one another, to have the brotherhood, and to strive with each other to go back to Jannah where Adam alayhi salam was. So this is our mission on earth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that He has created us for no reason other than to worship Him. So our presence on earth should be for nothing other than to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to remember Him. And everything we do has to be an act of worship. Whether we're working, we're studying, we're going to school, whatever we're doing in our homes and in the society is an act of worship if it has the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If it has the proper intention, which is the intention of this khilafah, being that representative on earth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created Hawa alayhi salam, or this female, to help the male strive on earth. Azwaj, and He made them couples or pairs. For what reason? لِتَسْكُنُوا. So that you can have sakina, you can have tranquility and peace and satisfaction and you know, a place of abode. So we're stable in our lives, we're not going back and forth, we're not confused. You know, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us examples in the Quran, those who are touched by shaitan, they're like bouncing like a ping pong. They're going back and forth, they can't make up decisions, they're always confused, they're always hesitating, and so forth. But when we have this sakina in this place of abode, in Arabic, maskan means a house or a place of abode, a home. This is the place that we come back to after, you know, a long day, a place of comfort, a place of peace, a place where we can re-energize and refocus on our mission on this earth. لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. And He has made among yourselves mawadda and rahma. And the scholars have two differences of explanation of tafsir, what mawadda means. But most of the scholars say mawadda means love and compassion. Ibn Abbas and Mujahid, they explain it as a physical relationship, intercourse. Wa rahma, which is mercy among each other. And some of the scholars explain mercy, meaning that even in the times of anger or disputes between the spouses, the husband is so tender with his wife that he's exhibiting rahmah. He's exhibiting mercy in the way he's dealing with his wife at these difficult moments. So it's not just necessarily mercy in the good times, but even in the difficult times. Indeed, إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. And these are signs for people who think, who reflect, who ponder, who sit back and look at these ayat. So in this one ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that this relationship brings the emotional satisfaction that these people need. We all have feelings towards the opposite gender, but it's only through the Prophet's sallallahu alayhi wa sallam practice, through the practice of the Sharia, that this mawadda and rahma will come into place. And we see today, unfortunately in our communities, a lot of cases of divorce, a lot of cases of abuse. We see the number of Muslim sisters who are homeless or who are living alone or taking care of their children just skyrocketing. Almost every week I come across one case, a sister who has a teenage son and she can't, you know, control the situation, or she's, you know, homeless, some shelter calling us to, you know, we need help for this sister and her family, and so on and so forth. But it just doesn't stop at the adults. Also the younger ones, our brothers who are in high school and college, they're growing and they have feelings, which is natural. But they're also, you know, deviating from this area. And they're starting to have their aspirations in life. I want to be this greatest doctor, this best engineer, this whatever and so forth. And they need to share that with someone. So they go to their schools and their masjids and neighborhoods and they try to find a sister to talk to. And before we know it, we have, you know, a dialogue going on back and forth and a relationship. And usually, of course, it breaks because it's not a relationship based on the truth. It's not a relationship based on the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it's based on the whispers of shaitan. Because shaitan also knows where our weaknesses are. So he comes and beautifies things for us. He says, you know, it's okay, she's a sister. She's not a non-Muslim, she's a sister, so it's okay to talk to her. You see her in the masjid. It's okay to, you know, Facebook with her and talk to her. It's okay, inshallah. And when you guys grow up, you can get married. But then they're confused. They're not led by our, you know, adults, our leaders in the communities. We never talk to them how to deal with this situation. So they talk to each other from behind their parents. And then either their parents find out and it becomes a big problem, or they just keep going on with this relationship until one day it breaks. And then shaitan even makes it more difficult for everyone. So it is when we get back to the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ in the whole context of the relationship and the relationship between the adults and these young people, between the man and his wife. When we get up in the morning and we say, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, for the one who has given me this blessed wife, the one who has given me this woman to take care of my children, who has given me, you know, who's supporting me in my mission on earth. If we reflect on this ayah, that inshallah Allah will put in our hearts this mawadda and rahmah. But if we go on with our lives, we get up in the morning, we put on our clothes, we go to the work, we come back, is dinner ready? Okay, I'll wait a little bit, let's take the kids to wherever, let's go visit this family, and so on and so forth, we become robots. And our life has no meaning. We forget our purpose, and this relationship between the husband and the wife becomes just a relationship that could very easily break, because there's no depth in it. There's no mawadda and rahmah and sakina. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the couple to complement each other. And again, in the dynamics of this society that we live in, sometimes we forget about this. And many of us, even who have healthy households by today's standards, we kind of dump some of the obligations of the husband onto the wife. So they go out to work, especially in these economic conditions, when they are not required or obligated to work in the first place. As a matter of fact, we are obligated to bring the maids and servants at home to help them with their you know, errands at home, to take care of the household and the children, even if it's not, you know, too much for them to do. If we are capable, you know, and we have the wealth to do that, that's our obligation. However, many of us forget about that. And our wives, our sisters go out to the workplace. Or they get busy with other worldly affairs. And when we come back home, of course they cannot fulfill their duties because they're too tired. They got so many other things going on. It's late, and so on and so forth. So we're even starting to see serious problems, especially in people who are, you know, recently married and so forth, problems of pornography between the adults, the brothers, and this again is breaking marriages. So it does not stop there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the man to take care of the woman. He has created the husband to look after the woman for the tough jobs, for the work, for the heavy duty jobs. And the woman is there for the light jobs, to take care of the household, to beautify things, to bring this sakina into the household, to give the comfort for that man so that he can go on with the da'wah and with the work, you know, on earth, to strive for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do the goodness. Whether his work is, you know, some worthy work, a doctor, physician, an engineer, whatever it is, or someone who's a scholar in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ is this hadith that he mentioned. If a man is to come to you asking for your daughter, proposing, and you have rida, you accept his deen and his khuluq, his manners and his creed, his belief, his faith, and his acts of worship, and how he deals with people. فَزَوُّجُوا So marry him to your daughter. فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا إِلَّا تَفْعَلُوا تَكُنْ فِتْنَةٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ If you do not do that, it will be a huge test and trial and tribulation on earth. وَفَسَادٌ عَرِيدٌ And huge, wide mischief. This is the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. But many of us, our children are 17, 18, 19, and they have these urges, these feelings, and we kind of neglect them. We brush them off. Just the sister that last night was calling me, she said, you know, my son was looking at these websites and so on and so forth, and I don't know what to do. I told him this is haram, don't do this again, and he said okay, but then a month later, he did the same thing. And I told her this is a great opportunity to talk to him about marriage. Why are you thinking that it's, you know, too early for this? So we need to start communicating with our youngsters. We need to start opening these channels of communication, because many of them are shy or bashful to bring up this topic with their parents. But we need to be on the, you know, vigilant and looking out for them and for their good. So the hadith again, if someone is coming to you, إذا أتاكم من ترضون خلقا, if someone comes to you that you accept their manners, their behavior, ودين, and his belief, his aqidah, and his acts of worship, فزوجوا. So marry him. But إن لم تفعلوا تكون فتنة في الأرض. If you do not do that, it will be a huge test and tribulation on earth. وفساد عريض. And huge mischief. There's also a very well-known hadith. The Sahaba, one of the older Sahaba, was walking with the Prophet ﷺ. And another Sahabi told him, should we not marry you a young girl who can remind you of the old good days? So from this hadith, or from this little conversation, we get the point that we should always strive for the young wife, the wife that's beautiful, the wife that of course brings, you know, the deen into the household. So the Prophet ﷺ told them, since you are talking about marriage, let me make this statement. And he said, يَا مَعَشَرَ الشَّبَابِ مَنْ اسْتَطَعَ مِنْكُمْ الْبَاءَ فَلْيَتَزَوَّجْ O you young people, and Islam, the scholars say a young person is anyone under 40. يَا مَعَشَرَ الشَّبَابِ مَنْ اسْتَطَعَ مِنْكُمْ الْبَاءَ فَلْيَتَزَوَّجْ Whoever from among you can afford marriage, so shall he go and get married. There's no restriction here on age. The Prophet ﷺ did not say if you're over a certain age. فَإِنَّهُ أَغَضُّ لِلْبَصَرِ It is a protection for what you see. وَأَحْسَنُ لِلْفَرْشِ And a protection for the privates. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَعَلَيْهِ بِالصَّوْمِ And whoever cannot do this, then his cure is in fasting. As the Prophet ﷺ used to fast Mondays and Thursdays, as we know. So this is the prescription that the Prophet ﷺ has given us as adults and as young people. If we have young people in our households, And they cannot get married because they're under the age that the law allows marriage, or because they have school obligations, or they cannot sustain themselves yet. Then the prescription is to fast. And we have to be the example for them. We have to help them achieve that. It is not an easy situation, especially in this society. In a society when dating and having relationships is the norm, and whoever does not do that is called names, is bullied, is demeaned, is considered some alien person. Marriage today in this society is not considered a noble thing. And we have seen in the state how they were trying to pass a bill for same-gender marriage. It is becoming a de facto standard. 30 years ago in this country, or just 20 years ago, speaking about single gender marriage was unheard of. Just the fact of someone being homosexual was considered a very big thing, and people would stay away from this type of person. But today, 20, 30 years later, it is becoming part of our normal society and normal way of life. And whoever opposes this in public is considered a bigot, or, you know, someone who's against diversity and so on and so forth. So it is important that we go back to the basis of our deen, to the haqq, to the definition that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us about, that this relationship has to bring mawadda and rahmah, and has to have sakina in it. When we find these young people having these relationships, they have none of those three elements. They're always spying on each other to see if the other party is dating someone else, is going out with someone else from behind them or not. That's the opposite completely of sakina. They're worried, they're frustrated, they're angry, they're jealous. And subhanAllah, this is an epidemic that's spreading like fire across our communities, especially the young brothers in the public schools. But even the Islamic schools, we do see cases once in a while. But alhamdulillah, they're much contained and less in magnitude. But then there's no mawadda and rahmah. And some of these brothers, you talk to them, they say, well, we're having fun, you know, a good time. We're not intending to get married yet. And this is even worse. This is even worse because as a Muslim young man, our responsibility is to take care of the female, regardless if she's a Muslim or not. So the basis and things have become, you know, turned upside down. Right has become wrong, and truth has become false, and false has become truth. أَقُولُ قَوْلِي هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد خاتم رسل النبيين. So the advice of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is يا معشر الشباب من استطاع منكم الباءة فليتزوج. O you young people, whoever can get married, shall he go ahead and get married. فإن لم يستطع فعليه بالصوم. And if he cannot, then he should fast. So is it an obligation? The scholars have different opinions. They say if this person cannot protect themselves, it becomes an obligation to get married. It's not a choice anymore. If they slip into some other bigger disease, and there are many social diseases and illnesses in this society, then it becomes a requirement. And the parent has to do everything he or she can do to make this happen. And alhamdulillah, we have seen also in our communities young people who came forward and said, you know, I like sister so-and-so, but I'm still 16. And I don't know what to do. And I'm afraid to do something wrong. So alhamdulillah, we've talked to their parents, and the parents understood, and they said, okay, in 2 years when you finish school, we can go talk to the sister's family. So this gave the brother some sakina, some sense of, okay, something will happen in the future. I'm not going to be brushed off. And then he keeps thinking about this whole thing, and he tries to do things the wrong way, and then he falls into bigger problems. وَلَعَذُ بِاللَّهِ. If someone cannot control themselves and they have no support to get married, then they have to fast. It's also an obligation in this case. So if the person has the means and the ability to get married, they have to get married. It's a mandatory requirement. If they do not have the means, then they have to fast. Someone who can control themselves, but they do not want to get married, that's fine. They don't need to get married. It's optional for them. But the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ is to get married, as he said, get married, so on the day of judgment and have lots of children, I am showing off, or I'm, you know, showing other nations the large size and large number of my followers. But this mawadda and rahmah, or this relationship, is not just mawadda and rahmah. With it comes responsibility. With it comes responsibility and teamwork and supervision. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran in three different places, الرجال قوامون على النساء. The men have the upper hand over the women. But some of us misinterpret this ayah. They think that means that I'm in full control of my wife. I tell her what to do, when to do, where to go, how to go, where to come from, and so on and so forth. Where the ayah means almost the complete opposite. Al-Quwama means supervision, means taking care of. It comes from the word qa'im, zay iqamat as-salah, the establishment. So the meaning here is that the man is looking after and taking care of the woman. And this is a general rule. And for our young brothers who try to talk to sisters and go out and do things like that, the first thing we tell them, if you truly care about this person, you would stop immediately. Because as a young Muslim, you're required to take care of this person. To take care of her dignity, her modesty, her reputation, whether she's a Muslim or not. And the first way to do this is to not make her in a position where she has to talk to someone from the opposite gender. So you're doing the opposite, the complete opposite of taking care of this young woman or girl. So al-qawama is upholding justice. الرجال قوامون على النساء. Men have the upper hand over women. And this means to supervise them, to take care of their affairs, to look after them. And there's a reason. بِمَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the man a little bit more than the woman in dealing with problems and issues and looking forward to things and so on and so forth. وَبِمَا أَنْفَقُوا مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ. And from what they have to spend from their wealth over these women. So this is the proper understanding of this ayah. And the question we ask ourselves, is this what we're doing? If the answer is yes, we would not see so many homeless sisters. The homeless shelters in Baltimore City are out of capacity. They just don't have space to keep these single women who are Muslimat coming in with their children. And some of them have been married for 20 years, and all of a sudden, the husband dumps them or disappears. Or some, you know, have been victimized by their husbands, or abused, or whatever the case might be. There's some sad cases that I cannot even, you know, mention. And sometimes I can't even believe them when I hear them. And I go sit with these people, and I still can't believe what they're telling me. And then, you know, the people who work in these shelters, they tell me, yeah, this is true. And subhanAllah, we ask ourselves, where are the brothers? Where is the father? Just yesterday, this 20-year-old boy was telling me, I have nothing to do in all this problem. I know it's not my mother's fault, but she has a big part in it, but I have nothing to do with it whatsoever. And last year, a 16-year-old telling me the exact same thing. And last month, a 17-year-old telling me the exact same thing. Where is the father? And you ask him, where's your father? He said, the last time I saw him, I was 3. 14 years ago. Where is he? He's in Spain. Where's your father? I don't know. And so on and so forth. And this is becoming a problem in all different ethnic backgrounds of the Muslim community. Arabs, Pakistanis, Africans, indigenous, you know, we see it all over the board. And the question is, where are the brothers? And if we see a brother doing that to his family, where are the other people around them? Where are the other brothers in the community to advise him and to bring him back to the truth? Or do we just turn our face away and say, that's their problem, let's not interfere? We need to uphold the justice, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that the believers are qawameena bil-qist. They uphold the scale, the justice. So to wrap up, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, that there's seven types of people who are shaded by his shade on the day there's no shade but his shade, on the day of judgment. And one of them is شَابٌ نَشَأَ فِي طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ, a young person who was raised in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how can this young person be raised in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if he does not have a strong family structure? How can that happen? It's very, very difficult. Especially if the father is the one who's absent. And according to the Sharia, someone who's still not reached puberty, who does not have a father, is considered an orphan. So as a community, we have to extend our hands out to these people. We have to have mentors, and we have to have halaqas and discussions with these young people. And they're plenty. They're not a few. Wallahi, you go to any school, Islamic school or public school, you'll find a lot of young brothers who do not have fathers living with them. They're either divorced, they disappeared, or they passed away, or we don't know where they are. So we need to ask ourselves, what can we do to help these young people? And not just that, but even those of us who have sound families, alhamdulillah, what are we doing for our own children? We are on, you know, the first weeks of the summer vacation. Do we have plans for these young people? Are they just going to stay home, get up, you know, at 1 o'clock, or maybe later, miss their dhuhr, and then stay up late at night? We don't even know who they're talking to on the internet. We don't know where they go out during the day. They're out with some friends. We don't know who those friends are. We don't have phone numbers for these people. We have no idea who they are. And then we come 10 years later, and we say, talk to my son. I don't know what to do. He wants to go to Ocean City for the graduation party, and I don't know what to do. He's turning 18 3 months, and he says he'll leave us completely and just go live by himself. So let's not wait until they're 16 and 17 and 18. But from a younger age, let's make sure they're engaged in something useful in their community. Let's inshallah have in our masjid some activities for them, even if it is some trivial activity. As the Prophet ﷺ used to do with the poor people, when there was no job required for them to do, he would still ask them to go dig wells in the desert, and then after they're dug, they would, you know, bury these wells again, just to keep them busy and to pay them some money. So they don't feel that they are a burden on the community, and they feel that they're getting some income. So if it requires that we go spend $50 or $100 and get some, you know, buckets of paint to have them paint the masjid, and keep them busy for a week, let's do that. Because this $100 is an investment for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our youth. If it takes to just go buy some trees and put them out here, let's do it. Or some roses, and we know that these roses are going to die in 6 weeks once summer is over, let's do it. But it will teach them a lot of things. It will teach them a sense of unity. It will teach them a sense of brotherhood. It will teach them a sense of identity that they belong to a community called Muslimin. And they're not left out there, hanging, trying to figure out, who am I? Wallahi, I hear these questions all the time. Who am I? Am I African? I'm Egyptian? Am I Pakistani? American? You know, who am I? We hear these all the time. You go on Facebook, you even see them recording this in their schools. Yeah, and you see videos with this question. And they ask each other, you know, these questions. SubhanAllah. So the Prophet ﷺ gave us an advice. He said, اختنم خمس قبل خمس. Seek or collect five before five. شبابك قبل هرم. Your youth before your older ages. وصحتك قبل مرضك. And your health before your sickness. وغناك قبل فقرك. And your wealth before your poverty. وفراغك قبل شغلك. And your, you know, free time before you get busy. وحياتك قبل موتك. And your life before your death. So these days we have a lot of free time coming up, inshallah. Let's make these young people busy. Let's bring them within our families. Let's start channels of dialogue and communication with them, inshallah. Do not ever underestimate their abilities. They are, alhamdulillah, you know, trying to do the best they can. But if we are not there, then we're also being unjust to them. لما اجعل جمعنا هذا جمعا مرحوما واجعل تفرقنا من بعده تفرقا معصوما ولا تجعل بيننا شقيا ولا محكوما لما نسأل قبل الموت توبة وعند الموت شهادة وبعد الموت جنة ونعيما مقيما يا أرحم الراحمين لما ارحمنا فوق الأرض وارحمنا تحت الأرض وارحمنا يوم العرض عليك يا أرحم الراحمين لما يأتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم اهدنا في الدنيا حسنه وفي الاخره حسنه وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم اهدنا في الدنيا حسنه وفي الاخره حسنه وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم انك عفو كريم حليم تحب العفو فاعف عنا. اللهم انك عفو كريم حليم تحب العفو فاعف عنا. اللهم انك عفو كريم حليم تحب العفو فاعف عنا. اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا واستر ولايانا. اللهم احفظ شبابنا وبناتنا وارحم كبيرنا. اللهم نسأل قبل الموت توبة وعند الموت شهادة وبعد الموت جنة ونعيما مقيما. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد خاتم الرسل نبينا.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة. الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله.
Turn your lines, inshallah, fill in the gaps. If you have a cell phone, please make sure it's off or on silent.
Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar.
Allah.
الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون والذين هم عن اللغو معرضون والذين هم للزكاة فاعلون والذين هم لفروجهم حافظون إلا على أزواجهم أو ما ملكت أيمانهم فإنهم غير ملومين فمن ابتغى وراء ذلك فأولئك هم العادون والذين هم لأماناتهم وعهدهم راعون والذين هم على صلواتهم يحافظون أولئك هم الوارثون الذين يرثون الفردوس هم فيها خالدون. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
آمين.
سبح اسم ربك الأعلى
الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى والذي أخرج المرعى فجعله غثاء أحوى سنقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله إنه يعلم الجهر وما يخفى ونيسرك لليسرى فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى سيذكر من يخشى ويتجنبها الأشقى الذي يصلى النار الكبرى ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى الله سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
About three or four weeks ago I had requested that one of the brothers was diagnosed to have cancer of the lung, needed some help. So alhamdulillah, we received about $500 to help him with some of the expenses. If any of the brothers want to make any contribution before I deliver the money this weekend. Also, our speaker system is not working very well for the last month or so. If any of the brothers have any understanding and knowledge of the electrical system, they can help us buy whatever is needed so that Khatib's khutbah can be heard effectively without the interference. Inshallah, whatever the expenses, we will pay for the expenses for the labor as well as material. But we need somebody with the knowledge. Jazakumullah khair.
Спасибо.
Charlie, there is a graduation ceremony and function of graduates from Al Huda Islamic School in College Park. This will be held this Sunday on the 5th at approximately 10:30 in the morning. Everybody is invited.